The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
Now, it's been reported that the government tomorrow will consider signing up to the EU's Migration and Asylum Pact. This was something that was approved by the EU in December, but it's up to member states to decide whether they want to adopt it as well or adopt it for their own member countries. We'll talk in a moment to immigration lawyer Colm Malone, but first, Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher, can you explain what's involved in this EU suggestion which our government may be about to take up?
Well, it's a migration and asylum pact that was agreed between all member states. Effectively, what it is to do is to streamline applications for asylum and migration, but equally to ensure it is burden sharing across the entire European Union with regard to the number of asylum seekers seeking protection in the European Union. So from an Irish perspective, you know, the decision will be made by the government whether we opt in or opt out on certain aspects of this particular pact. But overall, you know, we will be signing up to it. The question then is whether or not we will make a financial contribution or whether we will accept the burden sharing numbers of migrants that may be, or asylum seekers that may be sent to Ireland from that perspective.
Sorry, does that mean, Billy, that we can actually decide we don't want to take people, that we'll pay the EU to have them sent somewhere else?
Yes, effectively, but that's not for the entirety of people who are seeking international protection or asylum. I mean, it would be based on the percentage of GDP and population. So from an Irish perspective, it would be around 620 or 30 asylum applicants going on the present numbers that are coming to the European Union. Effectively, the question is whether or not we would take them or whether we would make a contribution and that they would remain in the country where they first entered the European Union. So that's where we are. And of course, looking at the pressures that are on the systems at the moment, we've seen in Lower Mount Street, you know, the numbers of people sleeping in tents, moving those that are seeking international protection around the country. We are under huge pressure. So the question is whether or not we could actually make a financial contribution and that the applicants would remain in the country of origin that they entered into, or another country that's willing to take them within the European Union.
But are there such countries that want to take the immigrants?
Well, I mean, the countries have signed up to it. Those that will sign up to it will be involved in the scheme. So, I mean, clearly that is the...
That's yeah, but isn't everyone likely to want to say, we've taken enough, we'll pass it on to some other country? And by the time, if you conclude this human pass the parcel, where are these people going to go?
Yes, but Matt, I mean, you'd have to look at the figures of those that are actually, you know, making applications in various countries. So you'd very quickly identify those that are receiving larger numbers than other countries. So, I mean, there is an element of burden sharing. That is the purpose of it, that we'd sign up to that aspect. So, I mean, if a country is not receiving an awful lot of applicants, well, then, you know, there would be an obligation on them to assist in addressing that particular issue. And then the country that they were destined to go to or were in would make a financial contribution. So that's primarily the purpose of it. But there's more to it than that, Matt. I mean, there's also an international database in terms of fingerprinting to ensure that, you know, those that are coming in, the security checks done on them, they have fingerprinting mechanisms in place so that there will be a database built up right across the entire European Union to ensure that we have an asylum process that's humane, that's fair, that's practical, and that can be implemented so that it has integrity from the point of view of the European Union and its migration and asylum laws, but equally and as importantly, that is a quick, swift system of assessing an applicant's position, and if they are deemed to qualify under the various criteria, well, then they can remain, and if not, well, they don't.
Okay, stay on the line, Billy. I want to bring in immigration lawyer Colm Malone. What do you think is likely to be the upshot of this? If the government agrees this tomorrow, do you think we'll enter a situation where we will start paying other countries to take asylum seekers rather than dealing with them ourselves?
Oh, I think undoubtedly we will wind up paying that. And I think the amounts are, I mean, it's all not entirely agreed, but it's somewhere between 20 and 25,000 euro per asylum seeker. So you're looking at somewhere between, let's say, 12.5 and maybe 17.5 million, perhaps, on the numbers we're looking at per annum. Now, in fairness, obviously Ireland is a very rich country, currently running a surplus, and that's not going to break the bank. However, there would be a concern, given that that money is given to the countries that would be, shall we say, keeping the asylum seekers, such as Greece or Italy. I mean, there's a concern as to whether or not that money would in fact be used to accommodate or look after the needs of these people, or is the Greek Coast Guard going to take it to fund both to perform pushbacks, or are Hungarian border guards going to get the money to build higher electric fences? So I do have a concern in that regard.
Okay, and at present, is Ireland taking a disproportionately high number of these international asylum seekers?
No, we're taking, as a proportion of population, less than almost anybody in the European Union. And I mean, people think that the numbers here are huge, but I mean, there has been an increase of late, but the total number applying, if we exclude Ukrainians, is still somewhere around 13,000 a year. I mean, you could get that in a week in Italy. And obviously that makes sense, because if you look at where we are, I mean, up in the northwest of the continent, I mean, we're about as far away as you can get from the conflict zones from which these people are coming. And due to the system that's known as the Dublin 3 regulation, people are sent back within the European Union to the first country they've entered on occasion. Now, that's not the only criterion. For example, if you have family in Ireland already, or you have a relative who has made an application in Ireland, you may be allowed to stay. But because even if you get here, you may be sent back to the likes of Greece or Italy. They are just at the moment left with a completely unsustainable number of migrants. And so while I've got serious concerns about aspects of the new asylum and migration pact, I think that this burden sharing idea is, in fairness, not the worst idea.
Billy Kelleher of Fianna Fáil, there's also been a lot of talk about how different countries in the EU have different lists of so-called safe countries, and that we have one of the smallest lists of safe countries, which means we might be taking in people from various countries who wouldn't be accepted in other parts of the EU. Will this new EU overhaul of migration rules centralise that decision-making, or will it still be up to individual countries to decide what countries they will or will not take people from?
Well, look, foreign affairs and justice are still member state competencies, but I think overall we should have uniform code across the globe in terms of recognising countries that are safe or deemed to be countries that are unsafe for the purpose of asylum. Bear in mind that up until recently, Georgia, for example, which is a candidate applicant country, was by some standards seen as an unsafe country. Therefore, you could actually come from Georgia and make an application to the European Union for asylum. Now, I mean, I just think that particular area, you know, really does lead to be looked at. We should have conformity or uniformity across the entire European Union in terms of identifying countries that are deemed safe or unsafe. Otherwise, we have a mismatch between the policy around this particular pact and then, you know, the individual member states having different views on what is or what isn't a safe country. So yes, this is an area that we have to sit down and discuss with all other 27 EU states on this particular issue.
And Carl, under the new rules being discussed by the government tomorrow, apparently asylum seekers who arrive into Ireland without personal identification or documents will be put into a fast-track process that could see them returned home in just months. That was according to the Business Post report today in it. But how would they get into Ireland without personal identification if they've already been processed in another EU country?
Well, Matt, what happens is that, I mean, as we've discussed this before, people talk about papers being destroyed. The reality is that when people need to travel and they haven't got any passport, or their passport won't allow them just to travel into Ireland without a visa, I mean, they will get fake papers, and these are expensive to produce, and therefore they wind up handing them back to the agents or the traffickers in the course of the flight. And I mean, the reality is you can't apply for an asylum visa to come to Ireland. So if that's, I mean, it's perfectly lawful to apply for asylum, and yet, curiously, there's no lawful way of getting here to do it. But if I could just come back a second to something that Billy Kelleher said. He was saying that it's crazy to think that Georgia, as a candidate country for the European Union, would have people claiming asylum. But I mean, the figures on this are very interesting. There were 1,065 Georgians applied for international protection in Ireland last year. And in Ireland last year, there were 382 positive decisions. Now, those numbers are not directly comparable, because obviously there'd be people there who'd applied the year before, etc. But the fact that the Minister for Justice approved 382 Georgians last year who had gone into the international protection process tells us that safe countries may not be all that safe. In fact, Kosovo was also on that list, and a majority of people from Kosovo who apply in a year will be granted some form of protection in this country.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Colin Malone, immigration lawyer, and Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.